This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, the SEC, when they say it just means more, they ain't kidding. It is Dukes and Bell. Carl is still, I guess, in Vegas or on his way back. It's a hell of a weekend, man. It's like Ray Milland in the lost weekend. Chris is in for Carl today. We got plenty to dive into. We start every hour of every show, and you can join in your car or in the office. Just don't freak out somebody in HR with a big hearty, hey, man. How's your weekend, big boy?
It was absolutely phenomenal. Got to go to the movies, spent some time with the girlfriend, watched some hoops. Can't ask for more, Mike.
Nice. Yeah, I was digging in the dirt, man. My back is, you know, don't get too close to your radio. You may get a contact high from all the THC pain relief balm that I've got on my back right now and other extremities. But enough about me.
Rubbing it all over your body.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, and it's funny because Carl's like, well, why don't you hire somebody? Well, there's certain jobs you just got to do yourself.
I don't even know who Justin Thomas's brother is.
Yeah, see, I'm not that stoned like I was that day. We were at the golf tournament. But no, it's a close second, though, today. Just, man, because I'm on these blood thinners since I had my heart thing earlier last month. So I can't take Advil. There's certain painkillers you can't take. So you got to go other remedies, man.
The natural.
I got to be honest. My knee feels really good right now.
And it does. It really is.
Am I making sense?
No. So you trade off pain relief for not having any common sense or any kind of like thoughts connecting the synapses or anything. But you're used to that listening to me anyway. But we got lots to dive into. The SEC, man, just bananas. Just kind of fun to watch. Everybody, of course, but Georgia, who was embarrassing in their loss. But we knew that was going to be always a tough road to hoe. But unbelievable stuff, and now we're going to see if Alabama can beat Duke. Could you imagine seeing three teams potentially in this Final Four from the SEC?
Yeah, and then you get Duke, as you just mentioned, being the only team left from the ACC, a traditional basketball power. How about that game, Florida against UConn? That was a classic over the weekend. Hurley after the game.
Walking out the tunnel. Baylor, I hope they don't blank you like they blanked us. The Baylor kid's like, what is he talking about?
What is this guy doing? Basically having to carry him off of the court. You knew he was going to be like that. The Coach Cal, Coach Pitino matchup. I know a lot of hearts were broken across the country that wanted to see the Johnnies back in the mix. But I'll tell you what, Mike, for Coach Cal, year one, Sweet 16, pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I've been ranting and raving about Rick Pitino, and technically he went one game further than Mike White did with Georgia, but I just don't think, and I got a bunch of buddies that are St. John's alum, and just they had not faced anybody with the size that and the athleticism. And Arkansas, look, I've never been a big fan of Calipari's X's and O's, but it would be some irony if he wins a championship in Arkansas after all those years that, you know, people in Kentucky got so frustrated with not getting to the ultimate prize. But his fours and fives, I don't think St. John's, Chris, had seen anything like that all tournament.
And then on the opposite side of the coin for St. John's, their best player just picks the worst game of his career to go absolutely ice cold.
But do you still bench him? That's the thing. I mean, I just wonder, you know, do you say I'm going to be like Pat Riley was with John Starks that year? Just let him shoot us. Shooters got to shoot. We're going to live, ride, and die with this guy.
Well, he didn't respond well to it. Mike Bell on the bench. Nope. So I don't know if it was the best thing for the morale for the Johnnies as they were trailing in that game. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and the analyst described it as the biggest difference between that game and all the other games from this year is that they've gotten in similar holes, but they were able to score their way out of it.
Yeah, RJ Lewis is who we're talking about. He's the Big East player of the year. Yep. And it's kind of like when Free got benched in the Super Bowl because it was working better for Coleman. Then Coleman gets hurt. And then Free comes out, and it was a combination of the Patriots thinking they could exploit Free in a pass play about Devontae Freeman, and also the fact that he was kind of in his bag a little bit, and maybe wasn't as sharp as he needed to be. And so that was, you know, sometimes guys, they're just raring to go, or you sulk, or you get your head all screwed up. Either way, St. John's gone. And there goes my bet.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too,
it
now.
It was only $20, Orin.
Here's the thing, Mike. The question now becomes, do you like this version of the tournament where it's all chalk? Or do you enjoy a Cinderella here and there?
Well, there's no more Cinderellas because all the Cinderellas leave those mid-majors to go to the big boys. You know, who was it? Was it Seth? No, Seth Greenberg can kind of go rant and raving, but he has some good points this morning on ESPN. Or was it yesterday? Either way, he said that it's basically there are no Cinderellas because if you are any good at a mid-major, now you get picked up by the big boys. So he said the mid-majors, which, you know, gave us great runs like George Mason over the years, then Butler sort of became a brand, but Butler was a mid-major. Now all these guys, it's like those schools are like the G League. And now these guys all wind up at the big boy schools, in the big four.
Yeah, and essentially now what it comes down to is you're going to have one of these powerhouse programs lifting up the trophy again. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it because it's good basketball, Mike. Like, I've heard so much complaining and bellyaching about this tournament this year, and I'm like, why? We've gotten some really good games between highly competitive teams. Like, yeah, is a Cinderella story nice? But once you get into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, you don't want to see, you know, 85-50 as your final score, which is what it is most of the time.
I mean, like, again, you're rooting for some of these plucky, you know, upset specials, and you just didn't get them. You know, that's about it. I mean, McNeese taking down Clemson, and McNeese didn't go much further, and now that coach, you know, Wade Wills, he goes down on to NC State.
Yeah.
So it's just there's just not much of that kind of stuff. If you like it, I think, yes, you wouldn't want to see it. Look, CBS and TBS, they're not going to lie to you. I mean, they might lie to you. They don't want to see that in the Final Four. Those ratings go down when you don't have the blue bloods, when you don't have the big dogs out there. Duke, you know, can they do it with the injuries? Can they get past Alabama? You know, Houston, that's a school that's a perennial. You know, that's Kelvin Sampson. They're always really good. As long as they're shooting, they're great defensively, certainly. So they've got a shot. Kentucky and Tennessee, SEC on SEC violence. Texas Tech is, maybe you don't know much about them, but Arkansas and Texas Tech is going to be a great matchup. And then, style makes the fight.
Yeah, and then locally here, we get two treats on Friday at State Farm. You get Ole Miss at Michigan State. And then you get Michigan taking on Auburn, a number one seed coming to State Farm Arena on Friday. So that should be a great matchup as well.
You got Kevin Willard, who's been going round and round with his own athletic director in Maryland. And now basically he can punch his own. If there's better jobs out there, maybe the Texas job, Xavier. And there's apparently Xavier coach is going to take that job.
Yeah, but Sean Miller.
But we'll talk more about the hoops. And also, you know, maybe open up the phones. How much have you watched? Have you watched more? Less? I mean, where do you fall when it comes to March Madness? Because if you're an SEC fan, say for Georgia, you know, these teams are just putting some unbelievable numbers up. There's seven teams from the SEC in the tournament. Yeah, initially it didn't look so good for the SEC, but the cream rose to the top.
And the thing about the Georgia angle, the local angle, which is funny too, Mike, is we were on the air here on Thursday and Friday, during the game, after the game, and for the postmortem on Friday. You know what the God's honest truth was, Mike? Crickets.
Yeah, I just don't think people care about Georgia basketball. I've said this a lot. I did a rant on Friday. I'm not going to repeat the rant, but if you missed it, it was a really good rant. But no, I just, what do you care about? You care about football. Like, I went to Florida State. I could give a crap about Florida State men's basketball. You know, every now and again, they'll make a run. You know, and the Coach Hamilton is leaving. It's always been, you know, the year that the COVID came, that was probably Florida State's best chance, and they just never got it to do anything because the tournament got squashed. But, I mean, I can't lie. I don't get fired up. I mean, I've seen Bobby Surra, and hell, you take it all the way back to Dave Cowens play for FSU. But I know a lot of guys I go to school with, well, they graduate, I flunked out. But no one cares. Is it the same for Georgia? If you became Auburn or Alabama, or what Tennessee does, you know, perennially, what Kentucky does, would you then be more interested and then, you know, actually give a flip? Because I'm with you. I just think people, they want something to buy into, but it's the chicken and the egg. Until they get it, I think they're just apoplectic. There's apathy. Yes, you get apoplectic watching them get smoked by Gonzaga, but there's a degree of apathy.
Yeah, and then the apathy sets in when you lose by 30 points. That's the problem. So what it ultimately, I think, boils down to here is we're going to have a tournament where, yes, it doesn't have some of the dramatics and the flair that we've seen in other years as we get back into the later rounds, but I think the fundamental basketball is going to be really, really good. Like the Ole Miss-Michigan State game at State Farm at 7 o'clock on Friday, that's going to be a really good basketball game. Now, you have Tom Izzo, but other than that, is it the sexiest basketball game in the world? No, I'm not going to try to be a used car salesman and tell you on that. But then you get Auburn and Michigan. Those are two big brands. Michigan, you know, is in it every single year. Auburn's been a perennial power now for years. So it's kind of a trade-off. You get a nice little appetizer, then you get the main course. And that is sort of a representation, a micro or macrocosm, if you will, of the whole tournament.
Well, I mean, look, you know, Ole Miss fans, those guys, for bartenders downtown, those guys drink like fish. You know, Auburn fans get it in. weekend. Easy for Auburn fans. You don't even have to get the hotel. That doesn't exactly help, you know, as far as, you know, some of the loot you're going to make, unless, you know, you still want to, you know, not have to worry about driving and just go get, you know, schnockered at the downtown at the Omni or wherever. Or at the, matter of fact, shout out to the Signia. Wife surprised me, a little staycation.
Nope.
She had this big dental hoot nanny for her line of work over the weekend and stayed at Signia. We've done the shows over there at the Nest on 4th. Great spot. But yeah, man, so many cool spots downtown. Once they get the whole Centennial Yards finished, can't imagine what that's going to be like in time for the World Cup. But yeah, Auburn, Michigan State, and those guys get it in too. Michigan, you know, those people a little snooty compared to Ohio State, but they drink. And obviously Sparty gets it in too. So good time, fun time downtown.
Yeah, I think I'm excited about this because, listen, is it a change of pace? Yes, but sometimes that's fine. Like, don't force it if it's not there. We don't all need to be rooting for a Sister Jean every single season if that storyline doesn't exist. We had Khan in the first, Amir Khan, who apparently is racking up NIL deals like they're going out of style. I think he has about 6 or 7 right now. And if that goes out in the round of 32 like it did this year, then so be it. You're going to be stuck with, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee. That's a great basketball game. Is it is it drop-dead sexy in terms of storylines? I mean, Mark Pope in his first year, Rick Barnes has been there. But again, it's just going to be solid, solid basketball.
Maryland was pretty amazing. That, you know, the runner. By the way, how many steps did the guy take before he put that thing off the glass?
You're right.
I mean, look, I'm sorry, guys. Right. I mean, look, it is what it is. It's the same thing in the Euro step. Oh, you mean traveling. You know what I mean? It's, Orin, I don't know if you saw this, but when Maryland, with the game-winning shot, I mean,
and Derek Queen in that gather step.
It's three steps. He took three steps. And I give credit to the, I forget who the guys, there's like two guys when I wake up and I watch the Sports Center in the morning, and they're kind of like ninnies and they kind of giggle too much. And it's like, you know, but it was funny because one of the guys said, you should hear what he said. Well, say it on the air. Say he traveled. Have an opinion. You know, be compelling. You know, because he said he traveled. We were watching this. Well, no, because he did travel. And he's not wrong. But that was kind of one of the, you know, again, they're not going to call that these days. You get a lot of latitude. Maybe, I don't know if it's what fans want. Fans want to see above the rim. They want to see juice, and that's how you get it.
Yeah, listen, they're going to call it on the fifth guy off the bench. They're not going to call it on LeBron James, and they're not going to call it in an important moment in an NCAA tournament game. If this was 19, to bring it back to the St. John's angle, if this was 1985, maybe they would, because they played it a little tighter back then in terms of the rules, not in terms of the hand-checking and things like that, but I'm fine with
it. If you say anything, you sound like that. You know, you don't want to be that guy. Get off my lawn. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by Padley. Padley Real Estate. Go P-A-D-L-Y buyshomes.com. That's Padley Buys, I should say. And check out Padley. We got plenty to dive into. The Aaron Rodgers watch continues. Another comment from Steeler Cameron Jordan on some of the things that I was talking about. That's the other one. We don't like him.
Yeah,
that's
we
the
don't
Saints.
Like him.
We love Ironhead son Cam Hayward. But Cam Hayward in Pittsburgh on another podcast saying that, hey, man, we got a sense of urgency. It's something that you and I were talking about Friday with Brian McFadden. I said it to Carl, I think, on Tuesday's show about, like, the Steelers just aren't the Steelers of old.
No.
And it's time to hit the go button and do something. Now, can you do that with Aaron Rodgers? Is Aaron Rodgers loving the attention? Of course. Is Aaron Rodgers going to make a decision here? Who knows? But it certainly has some impact for the Falcons because there's talk to Giants – And Jameis is a backup. Don't get that twisted. But there's talk maybe the Giants could be in the mix for Russell Wilson. Just we get back to the Browns and Kirk Cousins. We'll get into it in depth, but it just doesn't seem like there's many options for people trading for Kirk Cousins.
No, at this point it seems like that's going to be a fantasy more than it is a reality, Mike. Right now. Obviously, when we get deeper into the summer, injuries, things happen, people maybe poor performance. But for right now, it just seems like Cleveland's unwilling to budge. The Giants got a backup. Now, would they get Jameis Winston and Kirk Cousins? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why I think Russell Wilson might be the guy there. Who knows? Or the Giants maybe go and get Shedeur Sanders.
They could do that.
I mean, look, that general manager, he's on thin ice as it is. But we'll dive into that coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour with 4th and 1. Next, though, Braves making some moves. Adios to Mr. Anderson. It's all coming up as part of our daily download next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Chris in for Carl today. Back to work on a Monday. Never thought I'd be that guy. And I was telling Chris before the show. He's like, how's your weekend? I'm like, I'm sore. I must have dug like 24 holes in the yard, planting trees and shrubs and stuff. All the stuff I used to mock my old man for. We moved out to Long Island. My dad thought like our corner property, Chris, was like the Ponderosa. Like he had like 40 acres or something. And I was like, Dad, who cares? I'd have to crisscross the grass at the corner, like make it like the outfield at like Shea Stadium.
Oh, my goodness.
I kid you not. And I get my butt whipped if I didn't do it right, trimming the hedges. All this stupid stuff. And my dad's like, someday you'll have a house of your own. You'll take pride in it. And he's right. Yeah. I was talking about it with Bunker during the commercial break when Andy and Randy got off the air because Andy's got a beautiful house and he does the same stupid stuff that I'm doing. But I'm just, dude, I'm so sore. Everything hurts. My eyelids hurt. All they feel is burning.
You are just raving about home ownership, Mike. It makes me so look forward to the whole thing now.
Oren's going through he's getting close to the closing process and learning all about the hidden costs.
Hidden costs, all these lovely things that when they give you the price of the house, it's not included in the price of the house. So thought I was going to pay the amount of money
No.
The loan amount was going to cover that amount of money. Like, yeah, but then closing all these costs. Lovely out-of-pocket things you got to pay for. Like home inspections? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Welcome to that world. I had a condo. You'd think selling a condo is pretty simple. Oh, I'd do a title search. Title search? I mean, Chris, don't ever own anything. No. My advice to you, stay renting.
Well, that's not going to happen, so we're good.
On that note, as we give you more advice about adulthood, time to give you our daily download.
Story number one.
Yeah, the Braves moving on from Ian Anderson. They do make a trade with the Angels, and the Angels have become, because of our association with one of our former guys in the front office working there, moving pieces back and forth. We thought it was, for a minute, what, 2 weeks ago, looked good for Ian Anderson.
And then not so good as he couldn't get people out and started walking every other guy that he faced, Mike. So the Ian Anderson era, experiment, whatever you want to call it, in Atlanta officially comes to an end. They trade him for a reliever.
Yeah, man, and they need some help in the bullpen. Left-hander Jose Suarez, who can also do a start in the pinch, if you will, if you need that sixth man. Club also optioned Bryce Elder to Gwinnett, and Jesse Chavez, Craig Kimbrell, they're going to have to start at least in the minor leagues, along with catcher James McCann. Chavez came back.
Jesse Chavez.
I know. One year he gets cut by the White Sox, we pick him up. This year he gets cut by the Rangers, we pick him up. You knew it was coming. I mean, I tweeted it out over the weekend. I mean, you know it's going to happen, and everyone's kind of like, no, yes. Because we still do pitching on the cheap. Feel bad for Ian Anderson, the Tommy John surgery. And again, he was a big part of the world. I mean, everybody who contributed to that pitching staff the year in 21. And then subsequently, Chris couldn't catch a break.
No, and Oren tells me, by the way, this is Chavez's seventh stint with the Braves.
Right. I mean, he's like the boomerang.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's like a set of luggage you can't get rid of in your attic. But anyway, Haas, look, whatever he can do, that I've always been amazed that an 89-mile-an-hour stuff doesn't just get hit like 600 feet. But
Well,
it's always usually in the broadcast, and this usually happens when, like, Brandon or some of the guys will be going, well, the guys really want to see you make the All-Star team. Pow! And that just hit the Omni. Someone just got plunked in the balcony at one of their, at a room overlooking the pool. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, and I understand there's always going to be that sort of great sentimental spot for some fans, but enough is enough already. The guy's a bust. I mean, whatever you get is gravy. Same thing goes for Kimbrel. Just spend some real money on the pitching back, when Hot Stove League was going, you wouldn't be making these Mickey Mouse moves.
Well, this is why we talk about what we talk about every year, Mike, because you don't make these moves. You try to monkey around. And to Alex's credit, a lot of them work.
Right.
But not every single one. You can't bat 1,000 on these.
So the rotation is set. Sale, Lopez, Schwellenbach, Holmes, and Smith, Shaver. And we're waiting to see just how Strider gets cooking. Here is Alex Anthopoulos from Sirius Satellite Radio talking about how good Strider's looked.
I mean, he looks like he's in the way he always was. So I thought, maybe it'll take a little time for the velo to get back up there. Maybe it'll take a little bit of time for the command to come. Granted, it was a short outing, but it was just explosive and electric, and I don't think it would have mattered who he would have faced, just the command and the stuff. So I'll be very curious to see how it looks again today, but assuming he continues to do well and throw well and look good, this will be his last outing of the spring, and the plan would be jump into a rehab assignment.
Now, a lot of fans go, look, he looks great. Why does he have to go monkey around in Gwinnett? But that's the way they've got it planned. That's from Alex. Also about the veterans we just talked about, some of the guys, and some of them, for outfield depth, some of them make sense. Here's Alex on the moves.
For us, it just made a whole lot of sense. Normally, guys like that aren't available in the scenario. So, look, it took till the end of spring training, and like you talked about with James McCann or Craig Kimbrell, those guys normally aren't available at this time of year, and the fact that they're willing to come and provide insurance and depth for us, and those guys are all big league players. So we normally don't have those guys waiting in the wing, so we're excited to be able to add all three.
And hopefully we see very little of all three of them, Mike Bell, because Acuna and Strider come back healthy and they're rip-roaring and ready to go.
We picked up Verdugo for depth as well in the outfield. Speaking of the outfield, what exactly is the timeline with Ronald Acuna? Here's Double A one more time.
Ronald looks phenomenal, too. And, you know, same thing. He came back from the injury in 2022. He was okay. He was good, but he wasn't elite like he'd always been. I think just having gone through that process, us as a staff, giving him more time, strengthening his legs, I do think when he does come back, he's going to have a good chance to be a elite player. So I'm cautiously optimistic we'll get a better version than we did in 2022.
Yeah, man, I know that Ian Anderson, we were just talking about, a couple of guys hit us up in the text line saying, like, you gave him every opportunity. He just, you can't throw 15 walks in spring training and expect to make the club knowing this was make or break. There was no more, and guys, if you don't understand, I mean, we've talked about it with Grant McCauley, and he'll join us throughout the week. There's just X amount of times you can go back and forth from the big club to the minors, and eventually you don't have that resource anymore. And so that's why it was kind of blanker get off the pot. He gets traded to the Angels.
Yeah, and now, Mike, the kid. A.J. Smith-Shawver.
Go time for him now. Yeah. Now, again, you know me. Carl always laughs when I go through the whole list, you know, from Folty to Newcomb to Tukey Toussaint to Bryce Elder, who got sent back to the minors. Just stick with the big club, you know? I mean, just now's your chance, baby. Don't spit the bit, as they say in horse racing. That's the thing that goes in the horse's mouth for those who don't follow. But anyway, just get it together, man.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. He's not really going to have a choice. Because if Sale and Lopez need their usual rest in between starts, he's getting the ball. Right. They don't have anybody else right now, unless you're turning back to an Elder or giving a Hurston Waldrop, who's still too young, in my opinion, another chance. He flamed out in the big leagues last year. So I think A.J. Smith-Shawver, like, listen, I'm not saying there's a ton of pressure on him. He's the number five, but he's going to get the ball.
Right. He's gonna be, it's time to go, baby. That's why they drafted you, cultivated you, brought you through the system. Now let's go. Hey, man, it is our Daily Download brought to you by ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. Story number two, the Hawks on a win streak.
Story number two.
Yeah, man, Trey goes for 28. They beat, I love, you hear all the adjectives, the prefixes, hapless, you know, just struggling Sixers, and hey, that's a them problem. The process is kaput, but can the Hawks get over 500? They're one game under 500. Problem is they got a road trip, starting with Houston. Houston just had their win streak snapped, by the way, against the Clippers, but it's a nice effort for Trey. It wouldn't be Trey without talking about the refs. Here's Trey, and, you know, he also enjoys, first, we'll get to the beef on the refs. First, a chance to play off the ball with other guys' hand on the rock.
Man, I would love that. I mean, as long as we score, I'm happy, bro. I mean, there's definitely times in the games where, I mean, I love being a distraction. Like, I love being out there on the floor where somebody's always worried about me and my teammates can eat. As long as we score, I don't care. I could just be a distraction out there and just kind of just be out there and not a distraction. I mean, is that the right word for it?
No.
Yeah, decoy, yeah. Let me not misquote myself, y'all. A decoy out there. So, I mean, it's good whenever my teammates are aggressive and they make plays without me even touching the ball.
Is it from a podcast? Because this is kind of like a low-key interview.
I think that was post-game. I'm pretty sure.
But either way, good vibe. I'm loving it. Yeah. It's an interview long-form answer from Trey.
Okay, but here's my question. So you don't care about playing off the ball, do you?
Well,
so
just
what happened
because the DeJounte Murray thing was just because, well, there's times he wants the rock. When he's playing with a bunch of scrubs from the, you know, that are from the G League or guys we traded for, it's a different dynamic. And I mean that with all due respect for George Nying and everybody else, but those guys were on their game. If you didn't see it, Nying went for 20. He was 5 of 8 from 3. Reese Sachet, 3 of 7, but from 3, but he scored 22. Everybody was doing the thing. Dyson Daniels with 5 steals last night against the Sixers. Great stuff. One more from Trey about the refs.
I don't think it's any different. I think that's been a lot of frustration with a lot of players on continuation calls. I think certain guys get it and certain guys don't. I'm obviously a guy that's gotten it a lot over these past few years, and it's not even continuation. It's just I gather the ball before they even foul me, and, I mean, I get to the line a lot. So they don't want to let me get to the line all the time, I guess, so they wave the call off and just give me the foul, which at the end of the day, it doesn't help us. I mean, it gives them a foul, but at the end of the day, just call it how it's supposed to be called, and everything would be good.
Hey, man, when if you can win a playoff series, it'd be long, tall order, whether it's Cleveland or Boston, but certainly more respect for Trey and so get some of those calls. As you mentioned, guys, 3-game win streak. They're off tonight, H-Town, tomorrow night, right here on 92.9 The Game. Story 3, college hoops.
Story number 3.
Calipari, man. You know, I've been following that Vice documentary, which is pretty cool on Vice Sports in Arkansas. He's got some tremendous athletes. Can he coach them up? Well, these guys, every night, someone else steps up. And if you missed the game, here's Calipari saying, well, we're playing Tennessee next. Wasn't so, I mean, talked about playing Tennessee, how bad they looked at times. Take a listen.
I think I burned the tape. You know, people get mad. He burned the tape. Yeah, I'm not going to watch. If I don't believe it's my team that I'm going to watch, why would I watch it? The South Carolina game, I'm not watching that tape. That's not my team. But I was able to tell them, if you don't become more physical, if you don't do this together, you're going to take a lot of these. And we did.
Now, it's, again, went over St. John's. It's a Texas Tech in the 3-10. If they can handle that, man, boy, oh, boy, you could have Florida or Maryland. And certainly, you know, Calipari, it's about getting hot at the right time, Chris, and they're playing some great hoop.
Tech is a 5.5-point favorite. Low on over under at 147.5.
Yeah, the 4s and 5s. We said how much athleticism they were bringing. Big story, though, is, you know, Rick Pitino's got R.J. Lewis, the Big East player of the year, and all of a sudden the guy couldn't hit. Here's Rick Pitino, because apparently Walter Berry and Chris Mullin aren't walking through that door, pal.
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes, and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3-17. You know he was 0-3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Well, can't you just say he's having a bad night shooting? Can you just say that? I mean, I've enjoyed that all since it comes on right after the Calipari documentary, which is the one on St. John's. Come on, Rick. Well, it's, you know, you can tell. He blew a great opportunity to get to the big dance, or at least certainly to the Elite Eight. Hey, man, there's your daily download from ATL Live Well. We'll come back. Falcon moves. Are we under the radar? Are we so under the radar that no one's even watching, Chris?
We might be, Michael.
All right, where do these moves rank as far as the rest of the teams, what they've done so far in the month of March? It's coming up on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour of the program brought to you by Padley. Go to Padley Buys Home. That's PADLYBuys.com. Chris is in for Carl today, who I presume is on his way home from Vegas. Always a great weekend to be out there for the tournament, you know, the upsets. But as we said, for the most part, chalk, because the mid-majors just don't really roll, because the big boys take all their greatest talent, it seems like, the last couple of years. So no big Cinderella stories in this one.
No, and it's just a matter of preference, Mike, because I know some people were, you know, moaning and complaining on the socials about, you know, we don't have our fun mascots. We don't have our fun cheerleaders this time around. The teams that we can root for with the fun storylines and the kid who's making his dream come true and what it's all about. But at the same time, Mike, how's the basketball? That's really what you need to ask yourself at the end of the day.
Now it's almost like semi-pro. It's, you know, NIL. Like, there's no more complaining about it. It's the world we live in. And that's why, you know, Rick Pitino was able to get his guys where they were. And, you know, Calipari's always lived in sort of a one-and-done world. Now he can augment it with guys from other schools. But now you're seeing guys that are, you know, in some cases, they've already been on their way to the NBA. They're sticking around. Some guys get more seasoning. I know in the ultimate, if you got guys that are 23 heading to the NBA, maybe the product gets better. And you don't have to wait for, like, you know, the 5 or 6 years for these guys to like to go on in some cases. But, I mean, like I said, you can't complain, because there's no fix. We talked about this last week with Clark Kellogg. This is the reality we're living in. I think it's great for Atlanta, you know, with Auburn and Michigan. And Ole Miss in Michigan State, that's pretty exciting, Sweet 16. So, I mean, would you have been more excited had a George Mason or a Butler been here?
Right. You want Gardner Webb in there instead? No. You want to see these powerhouses collide in good basketball.
Right.
Hey, Mike, let's be honest. You don't know the players on the back of the jerseys' names anyway.
That's true.
So.
No, I mean, we joked around about it. I mean, I know I mentioned it a few times last week. I just thought it was kind of a funny stat and factoid that the average age of Auburn is older than the average age of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's incredible.
You know, so, you know, when you sometimes some of the starting five over the course of the season. But Bruce Pearl, what you going to do, man? Number one, let's go. Time to grab the brass ring, right? You could argue the SEC just kicking butt. It just seems to mean more. More on that coming up later with Connor Riley. We'll join from Dog Nation.
Deshaun Tate at 340 as well.
Oh, our man. Because Deshaun's going to be, I mean, our boy, we love this guy. He loves college hoops. You've heard him on the station over the years. I've known him since he was an intern here. And he's actually got a Michigan State tattoo. So, I mean, he lives for Sparty. So he's going to be absolutely stoked.
Talked to him last time, and he says, Deshaun as a kid, he said if he had a second child, the second child's name was going to be named Sparty.
Wow. If you want that.
That's a big commitment.
Well, actually, you know, it'd be better if you name your kid Spartacus.
That would actually be funny. Is, well, if you name? Have a dog, my, you think, can name think, it.
We always joked around about, yeah, how do you name your kid? You know, I mean, imagine, like, think, always, I always think, if you're maybe, you know, sort of tossing names around, or you're caught between a couple of names with your wife or your, you know, whatever, your significant other, you think about, how is it going to sound on a PA system? That was always, you know, a friend of mine, my buddy Dominic, always said, well, how's it going to sound in a football game? Tackled by number 45, Spartacus Tate. I mean, that cuts glass.
It's got some ump to it, some yes. amplitude to it.
Spartacus
yes.
Tate?
Some regality to
right.
it, yes.
I've told the story. Oren's heard the story because we told it. We actually had the lady, my old receptionist when I worked in Florida, real sweet lady, and her husband was a UPS guy. And anyway, his last name was Bryson. And he sat next to me, or it's actually a row behind me at the Hard Rock in the old days. I mean, back then it was Joe Robbie, but the old Dolphin Stadium is where we sat. And so they had a baby, they had one in the oven. And so we were joking around on the rock station about, what do you name the kid? And so I was had him in the studio, and I go, how about this? I go, tackle by number 55, Ramad Bryson. And the wife busts in on the intercom, we're not giving our baby no Muslim name. And it was like,
it's
no,
not
no,
gonna happen, huh?
No, but it sounds cool. Ramad Bryson is a great, that also cuts glass.
That's a strong name. You could yeah. also do the way that they do the adult film star names. You could do the house you grew up on as a kid, right. and your first car.
And for guys, to Chris's point, you know, it's been out there for years. But it's funny because some of the things that we take for granted is sort of like, you know, guy short, you know, shorthanded guy talk. Some guys don't know it. And, you know, we always have younger audience members. Our audience goes anywhere from 18 to friggin' 80. But, yeah, you take the first name of your first pet that you ever had. So whenever the family pet was when you were born, what's the name of the animal? And the first street you lived on. So our first dog was Buster. And I lived on Cropsey Avenue in Brooklyn. So it was Buster Cropsey. Not a bad name.
That's not bad.
What would you be?
Well, if I was a female, it would work really well. Uh-oh. It would be Malcolm Bunny.
That sounds like a producer name. You know, it's like, bow, chicka,
bow, bow, walk, chicka, mine would make no
produced
sense
by whatsoever. Malcolm Bunny. You know, it's time for log jamming. Hey, what would yours be, by the way?
Goldie Panthersville. Like, I think that just does not work.
I think you
at
just
all.
Shorted to Goldie Panther.
Goldie Panther. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So anyway, try it at home. It generally works, and you can hit us up on the text line if you got one that's particularly interesting. Hey, man, the Falcons, and I'm not trying to poke the bear. I mean, now it's time. We're basically a month and a day away from the draft. So I can't wait to see what we're going to do, change our fortunes, get out of this rut of non-winning, non-playoff football.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for some positive reinforcement, maybe don't turn to Sports Illustrated. Who over the weekend ranked everybody's free agent move so far?
So what, we get like a B, B minus?
D.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a D plus.
Whoops.
Yeah, so for what it's worth, now it's just simply one guy. You know, it's just one man, and it's his opinion, and it doesn't even matter. But for what it's worth, it was actually from CBS Sports, and then SI reprinted it. But a guy named Jordan DeJani.
Oh, yeah, we've had him on the show.
Okay, well, is he dead to us now?
Yeah, he gave us a D minus. Jordan, you're off the air.
That's a D-plus, I should say. But, yeah, D-plus is basically where, that's kind of like where I was living in like, math and science in high school. I was I was that bad.
Yeah, it passes.
Yeah, I was, 65, 66.
Yeah, it passes.
You could do better, Mr. Bell. Not
my dad
really.
Told me in college, he said, son, you're in college now. You're not going for a master's degree in communications, right. So here's how you play it. No, C's, I mean, get degrees.
I don't know how you guys feel about, I know over in Europe, I know from my Irish cousins, and it's the same in England, they generally, at least, maybe I don't know if they still do it, but there was a way for like for decades, they would kind of see where your aptitude was and steer you towards it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, for instance, nobody wants to do manual labor. If you're really good with your hands, you know, you make a ton of money in HVAC or as an auto mechanic, and you can make six figures, but nobody wants to do that. But over there, if you're not that good in book learning, but you love working under the hood, hey, Nigel, now you're going there. We're going to send you in that direction. But for me, same thing. I loved English and history classes that you could, you know, you could BS in, you could talk, you could argue about, kind of predisposes you for sports talk radio.
Yeah, they called them when I was in high school PTs, placement
right.
tests.
Right, O levels, I think, was they call in the UK.
Yeah, yeah, and that's how you and you had the option of taking them. And again, they would sort of point you in a field that they felt fit your strengths. And apparently Sports Illustrated nor ESPN thinks the Falcons have many strengths.
Yeah, so we got a D-plus from one pencil neck who we've had on the show a few times from CBS. Meanwhile, Chris found an interesting article, and I think it's interesting to Falcon fans because it's something that maybe nobody's going to talk about. It's the casual fan that would go, well, I don't care about the assistant coaches or what this guy does. But it's the secret sauce, Chris, for making teams work. You're talking about our new D-line coach.
Yeah, so ESPN did their pre-draft power rankings. The Falcons sat at number 19. I guess you can argue that's maybe a fairish based on the moves that we were able to make. And they also gave one under the radar move, and that was hiring defensive line coach Nate Olley. We know how important this is going to be now, especially after the departure of Grady Jarrett. But also, Mike, what have we been harping on? Rook's got to grow. Braylon's got to grow. Zach Harrison's got to grow into his own. Arnold Ebiketie needs a breakout year, and this guy is going to be in charge of that.
Yeah, man. They finished, as you said, fourth for the NFL in sacks last season. We were 31st. Don't have to remind Falcon fans we're just perpetually a terrible team at getting the quarterback on the ground. How does Coach Olley come in and get more out of Braylon Trice? Because we don't know what he is yet. He was injured. Get more out of, you said, Troy Anderson. If his role will include getting after the quarterback. Getting more out of Arnold Ebiketie. You know, Rook, row your boat, and Dorlas and everybody else, and whoever we draft. That's the key. Because we don't have a lot of money. That's why we got a D-plus on our rankings. You know, the Cousins thing, they can spin it all they want. It's just, it's a black hole in your cap. We couldn't go make any of the big moves.
No. But
I like Leonard Floyd. I think Leonard Floyd's a nice piece. And I don't know what Divine Diablo is going to be other than a great freaking name. But, I mean, he had one solid year with the Raiders. He's been not a journeyman, but like it's just the numbers are just there.
He's kind of been a journeyman.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, journeyman means he's on three or four teams, but it's a second team.
No, he is what he is.
But if Olley can get the most out of these guys, and I just feel that, look, if you draft, see, we don't know. I can't crap on. Like, there's things I can crap on about this general manager's draft because you know it, okay? Pitts has never panned out consistently. He's had one really good year, and the rest has been a lot of just frustration. Troy Anderson can't stay healthy. You know, Bergeron's a great move. That's a great pick. He's been a guy we don't complain about at left guard. You plugged him in. He's got attitude and edge. He fits the role perfectly. That's great. You know, we love Drake London. Bijan was a no-brainer. But the other pieces, we don't know. And I have no idea what this defense is going to be.
No, and I think the unfair part of the D-plus ranking or the 19 out of 30 teams or 32 teams, whatever it is, you're not accounting for how good the move was based on the circumstance. Leonard Floyd is a decent move based on the fact that you have no cap space. Divine Diablo is a decent move based on the fact you have no cap space. Now, are they saying the fact that you have no cap space is a credit against you in this argument? I don't know. It says ranking the offseason moves.
Right.
So I don't know if that factors in the cap space or not, but in order to bring back the guys that we brought back and to set the franchise up to go have a strong draft class, I think they did all right. I think D-plus is a little harsh.
Yeah, man, you got money, you don't have money. You know, there's teams, and we always said it, just because you have more money than anyone, generally that's a sign that things have gone horribly wrong. That you've got the Jets have had more cap space than anybody for like a decade. The Patriots this year were the ones that had more coin. It coincided. The Raiders are kind of in a cool spot now. The Commanders were able to do some things. But yeah, I just wish we had a little bit more than we had. But last year we decided to do the quarterback double down, and so here we are. But yeah, love to see if Nate Olley can improve all of these guys, which some we think we know what they are, some we have no idea. If you can get Ebiketie to be a double-digit guy, where then you that warrants you keeping him and signing him to a long-term deal, because that's it. This is a contract year for Arnold Ebiketie. If you want to stay with the Falcons, either way, if you don't. If you go for 12 sacks this year, you're going to get paid by somebody else.
I don't know what he's going to be, Mike, but for me, Braylon Trice is the key to this whole thing because he was a third-round pick, which you don't have this year as of right now.
Right.
So if you get him back and he can give you 6, 7, maybe, dare I say, 8 sacks, that's almost like getting a third-round pick again this year. So if he can be what we thought he was going to be, or even 75% of that, to me, that's a huge win, and that's going to be on Ollie's shoulders.
So moving forward, it's just a question of – it truly is. I mean, that's why it's not like somebody's going to sit around at a sports bar or call over our show and go, hey, Dukes and Bell, Chris, really looking forward to see how our defensive line coach develops this young talent. No, you just want to see us. Are we going to crush the quarterback? You know, are we going to finally take some heat off that secondary that looked like Keystone Cops last year? Because if you give a quarterback that much time to – pat the football. Next thing you know, D. Alford's going, and all of a sudden Justin Jefferson's like running around like there really is nobody out there.
No, it was so bad. And, you know, Mike, that's a great point. Like, yeah, we might not be talking about it at the sports bar about the defensive line coach, but we're sure as hell talking about it now because of the lack of performance of the previous defensive staff. So right. It's one of those things. It's like being an offensive lineman. When your name's not called, that means you're doing your job correctly. When we're talking about you, that means something's probably gone horribly wrong. And that's what happened last year with Jimmy Lake.
So the Falcons now, we wait. And all it is now is the classic sort of next 4 weeks of misdirection, misinformation. We've seen a little bit of it already about some of the pieces. Sometimes it's a guy you want to fall to you, so you throw it at you. I've often wondered that what general manager buys into that stuff. Because now here we are. We're going to be picking right in the middle of the first round. Are we going to get that impact guy? Do we like Mykal Williams? Will he be there? Is it Mike Green from Marshall? Are we going to go with Shamar Stewart, the tackle from A&M? So that's, to me, those are the three guys. I think it's D-tackle or edge. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, James Pierce is another guy that'll be on the board. So again, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, but at the same time, it's also kind of not. Because, yes, you have all these guys to choose from, but at the same time, is Terry Fontenot going to finally do the unthinkable and trade down in the year when there's a plethora of players available at the position that you need the most? It would be the most ironic thing in the world. He's been bored every year that he's been here, and then the one year that there's all the players available at the most important position that the Falcons need, you trade down.
All right, for what it's worth, Pete Prisco, he's a bit prickly at times, but he generally knows his stuff for CBS. He's got us going with Shamar Stewart.
Okay.
So that's a dude that, you know, we learned some stuff last week. I learned something last week that we said, why was he tubby? Why wasn't he in shape? No, they asked him to play at a different weight. And then he shed the weight and he looked like a rock star for the combine. So you can't say why, you know, Shamar Stewart was sluggish for the $1 million or whatever the $10 million class was for Jimbo that never panned out at A&M because a certain defense style, they wanted him to look a certain way. Okay. The article, though, that talks about where we're going to go, they're basically handicapping the first round. Prisco says they added Leonard Floyd to help the pass rush, but he's getting up there in years. Yeah, that's a spackle. That's not a long-term answer. But this guy's considered more of a middle of the line, or perhaps. See, that's the 3-4 thing. You can kind of put him all over the place if you want to.
Yeah, he's a guy that definitely has some versatility on the defensive line, which that's what that's what Rook is supposed to have. That's what Dorless is supposed
but
to
Rook,
have.
Now with
all these guys.
But, you know, him and Rook in the middle, that's pretty interesting. He's got Jalen Walker going eighth to Carolina. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he goes to Carolina.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think he's going to be there.
Yeah, I think Jalen Walker's gone. The one thing that is interesting, for what it's worth, in Prisco's draft, we don't see Mykal Williams. Make sure. I don't get why he's falling in some of these mock drafts.
Maybe because he doesn't have like one thing that he's absolutely dominant at. He's sort of good at everything.
And that's the argument we talked about with Les Connor Riley about it, because can he be that edge rush guy we need? Hey, man, the hour of the show brought to you by Padley. Padley Buys Homes. That's PadleyBuys.com, PADLY. We'll come back. We'll get into the NFL because everybody in Pittsburgh is like, hey, Aaron Rodgers, let's go. While we're young, coming up next.